الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى. قال الله تعالى في المقام الآخر: قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. نزل رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Thus Allah Ta'ala has made every human being with different parts. The first part, Allah Ta'ala has given us, is the part of our physical body which is called our jism or our jasad, which means the physical body. And to this jism and jasad, Allah Ta'ala has given different parts. We have our limbs, we have our organs, different parts of our physical body, different parts of our jism or jasad. In addition to our physical body, we also have our spiritual. We also have our spiritual body, which is called a ruh. Every one of us have this ruh. And our ruh also has different parts, just like a physical body. And the heart, just like in a physical body, we have a heart, a physical heart which controls the physical body. Similarly, for our ruh, we also have a heart, which is a spiritual heart. And this is known in Quran and in Hadith as our qalb. So our qalb is our spiritual heart. And there is a third thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to everyone, and that's their akal. Akal is their mind, their intellectual faculty, our ability to reason and to think. And this is the fourth thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to every human being, and that's their nafs. Nafs simply is that part of the human being that has desires. It's what we call in Urdu or Arabic as markaz-e khwahishat. It's the center of a person's desires. So heart or qalb was that portion of that part of the body which was the seat of emotions. Seat of emotions of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seat of emotions, feelings and love. And this nafs was actually the seat of our desires. Whenever you want something, you desire something, you crave something, that is coming from the nafs. The nafs is your appetite. The nafs is your desire. And for many people, sometimes have this misconception about nafs, that nafs is always bad. But actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't made nafs necessarily bad. And you see there's different types of nafs. And if it was necessarily bad, then we would have asked this question, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this nafs? But actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled this nafs with both desires. The desires which are good and the desires which are bad. For instance, there are many good examples of good desires. If a person has this feeling, has this desire and yearning and craving in that I want to become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to become a person of tahajjud. I want to become a hafiz of Quran. So these are all good desires that are also coming from the nafs. And likewise, there are also bad desires. If the person thinks that, oh, I have a lot of power, may I live like this always, I'm going to get popularity amongst people. People should praise me. People should do tarif of me. Or I have a craving for culture, fashion. All these things are bad desires. The desiring part is done by the nafs. And that's why our mashayikh mentioned that there is a lot about nafs. Because nafs is actually that organ that if a person can purify their nafs, if a person can rectify their nafs, if a person can make their nafs proper, then that person can raise up above the rank of angels. Can raise up above the rank of angels. And on the other hand, if the nafs, a person doesn't care about their nafs, they just let their nafs take control of their life, if the nafs is bad, then it can make the same person worse than enemies, worse than even animals. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, that such people, when their nafs take over, that they become worse than even animals. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. That these are like livestock. Al-an'am means the plural, these are like animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Rather, they are more astray than animals. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. These are the people who are غافلون, these are the heedless people. You see that this is the nafs, is that portion, that part of the body, can actually make a person worse than animals. And likewise, many people say that we have so many spiritual diseases in our heart. When we take our own diagnosis test, we have a diagnostic test and diagnose what sort of diseases we have. We notice that we have takabbur, we have envy, we have arrogance, we have lust, we have jealousy. All those diseases of the heart, all the spiritual diseases. And actually, our mashayikh have mentioned, it's also mentioned in Quran, that nafs is the cause of all spiritual diseases in the man and a woman. Nafs is the basic, it's the core cause of all these diseases. And the proof, the dalil for that is in Quran, Azim al-Shan. So for instance, shahwat, to have lustful thoughts, or lustful desires, that's also linked with the nafs, and it's related to the nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسَكُمْ, that you will have in yourself whatever your souls desire. And you will have therein whatever your soul desires. The word used, مَا تَشْتَهِي, that's the shahwat. أَنفُسَكُمْ, it's your soul which desires. Allah Ta'ala didn't use the word qalb, it's the qalb which desires, no. Allah Ta'ala use the word nafs. It's the nafs which desires. Likewise, our khwaishat, the desires are also related to nafs. Allah Ta'ala says, wa amma man khafa maqama rabbihi wa nahan nafsa anil hawa. As for that person who feared the position, feared the maqam of his Lord, feared the maqam of his Rabb, and prevented his nafs, prevented his soul, prevented his self from unlawful inclinations, from hawa, from aimless inclinations, from his desires, vain desires. Here again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used وَنَحَنْ نَفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, who prevented his nafs from hawa, from these desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala linked our khwaishat with nafs. Likewise, another spiritual disease is bukhul. People don't want to spend, they're stingy. And the Arabic word, one is bukhul, there is also another Arabic word which is used for the same type of disease, which is shuh. Shuh. And that word has been used in Quran. وَأُهْذِرَتِ الْأَنْفُسُ أَنْفُسُ shuh. And present in human souls as is stinginess. So Allah Ta'ala is saying in Quran that Allah Ta'ala has placed stinginess in a person's nafs. Likewise, hasad. Hasadam min indi anfusihim. Out of enemy, or out of envy from themselves. Likewise, foolishness. This also sometimes people have this attribute. Foolish. This also is actually related to the nafs. That mother says, illa man safiha nafsa, except for that one person who makes a fool of himself. Except for that one who makes a fool of himself. The safiha nafsa, it's the nafs, same word used. And finally, takabbur, arrogance. That also is related with the nafs. Because istakbaru fi anfusihim, they have certainly become arrogant within themselves. So even all these spiritual diseases, Allah SWT is telling us, is giving ishara in Quran, that all of these spiritual diseases, the basis is the nafs. And even if you look at our own Islamic history, go back way in time, before even Allah SWT created a human being, and at the time of shaitan, from starting of time, all the disobediences was either the nafs did it solely, or it did it in collaboration with someone else. That's the history of disobedience. It's either nafs or nafs plus something else. If you go back to the first disobedience ever, that's shaitan. Now shaitan, he did not obey the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he committed that sin. And when shaitan did that sin, as obviously there was no shaitan to lead him astray at that time. Today we can blame the shaitan, that was shaitan which led me to that sin or this sin. But who had shaitan to blame? He had his nafs. The nafs of shaitan made shaitan did this. Big badmash. Such a big enemy that it converted that same the shaitan who was Azazil. Was Tawsul Malaika. The likeness of angels. So much ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some books it is written 80,000 years of ibadah. And that same creature was changed and turned into shaitan. And these verses were inna alayka la'nati ila yawmiddin. And Allah SWT is saying that there will be la'nat upon you until the day of judgment. Ya Allah, the nafs was able to transform that creature from 80,000 years of ibadah into this la'nati ila yawmiddin. Allahu Akbar. It's actually his nafs which was made the mustahik of this lanat. Now if you take the second afirmani, second disobedience in Jannat, when shaitan convinced Amma Hawa alayhi salam that by eating the fruit you'll stay in heaven forever, for always. Fawaswasa ilayhi shaitan, when the shaitan whispered to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, oh Adam, ya Adamu, shall I direct you to that tree of eternity? So uspak, when that thing happened, shaitan whispered to them and made them apparent that you should go towards that tree, and if you eat that fruit in that tree, then you'll be able to live forever. And he swore at that time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا, that I swear to you that indeed, إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاسِهِينَ, I'm to you from among your sincere advisors. Even shaitan dhoka did. That's the way he gives dhoka. He comes to you and makes you think that he is your friend. He is the most intimate friend. I'm advising you. I'm sincerely advising you. But qasamahuma, I'm taking qasam on this. Swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khair, Amma Hawa alayhi salam, like any person, she had this liking for Jannah and she wanted to stay there forever. So this was also a sort of a greed or desire for the Jannah. And this also was because of the nafs. The first disobedience was shaitan because of nafs. And second, first disobedience in Jannah also because of nafs plus shaitan. And then if you look at the earth, on the earth, first disobedience on earth is when are the sons of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Kabil. So Habil mentioned he had a pretty wife and Kabil liked her and he killed his brother. This was also because of nafs. All these sins are either solely because of nafs or with someone else. And that is why Allah has mentioned that there are two enemies which we have to take, which we have to view as our enemies. And one is the enemy which is from inside, which is our nafs. And the second is the enemy from outside, our external enemy, which is shaitan. Innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. He is your sworn enemy. You should view him as your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُهُ أَدُوَى. This is about shaitan. And then actually ulama and mashayikh have mentioned differences in the two. Differences between nafs and shaitan. Now shaitan actually is a very clever creature. Very extremely clever, extremely intelligent. And on the other hand, nafs is very simple. It's simple, but nafs is very adamant, very ziddi, we call it Urdu. When shaitan wants man to do any sin, he puts in one sin. If the man just rejects that sin, doesn't do that sin, Shaitan comes with another idea, another sin. He keeps trying one sin after the other. Because the whole purpose of Shaitan is that the person should commit some sin. He doesn't care which sin, but some sin the Shaitan should, some sin that person should do. He tries a lot of different things. That's Shaitan, that's the working of Shaitan. Unless Allah give ajr to our Akabreen, to our Mashayikh, that have opened this up, how a person can distinguish between the working of Shaitan and the working of our nafs. The Shaitan was that creature. When he wants us to sin, any sin will do for him. But on the other hand, nafs, ajeeb, Allahu Akbar. When the nafs wants something, when the nafs desires something, it just sticks to it. It's like a crying child. Okay, I want that candy, and then you can do anything and everything. You want that candy. Nothing else will suffice. It's just like a child who wants a gift and is stuck on it. That's why this nafs is very important, and we need to control our nafs. Sometimes our Shaykh used to give this and give an example to show how our nafs, all the desires of our nafs cannot be fulfilled. Once there was a king who had no children, and he asked his vizier to bring his son. So the king then played with the son and instructed the vizier that you should never let the child cry. So the child, he was playing with different toys. So the child asked for an elephant. So he was given one. One big elephant came. He started playing with that elephant, live elephant. Then he asked for a needle. He was given one needle. And he started crying again. And when they asked him, now what do you want? He said that I want you to make that elephant go through that needle's hole. Actually, that's the way our Mashayikh explained nafs. Not all the desires of our nafs can be fulfilled. It has to be some islah, some rectification of our nafs. Islah in nafs. That means we have to rectify our nafs in order to curtail, in order to rope in its desires. And all of us know that Shaitan has this project to misguide us. And nafs is like the insider, giving the inside news. And everyone would agree that the insider needs to be sorted first. Because if the nafs is made right, and it stops cooperating with Shaitan, then Shaitan will never be able to do anything to us. Not do anything to us. That is why our teachers suggest that nafs is more dangerous and should be treated and sorted and purified first. And it is also mentioned in Quran. Allah SWT also says the makar of the nafs is more than the makar of Shaitan. Inna kaida shaitani kana zaifa. That indeed the kaid, the plotting of Shaitan, is very weak. Zaif, that's the word used. It's very weak. And on the other hand, when Allah SWT talks about the makar, about the plotting of nafs, inna kaida kunna azim. Indeed, your plan is great. So one hand, Shaitan, the plotting of Shaitan is zaif, whereas the plotting of nafs is azim. So this actually is a big disease which needs to be treated, which needs to be cured. That a person falls in love with their nafs. We overlook its faults. Everything is fine. Our desires are okay. We just overlook it. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi used to say one very ajeeb call attributed to him. He said that when a human nafs is afraid of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is happy when talking to other people, then he should know that his nafs needs to be corrected. It needs to be islah. It's a big disease. So there are different types of nafs which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran. There are actually three types of nafs. And the number one nafs which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned is what's called a nafsul ammara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, Inna nafsul ammaratan bisu. That this is the commanding nafs. This is a soul, this is that nafs which enjoins a person towards evil, enjoins a person towards su. And that you have a nafs. Allah is telling in Quran, there is ammar. Ammar comes actually from Amr. Some of you maybe have people who are named Ammar. Ammar comes from Amr, which means a commander. That nafs is actually a commander. It commands a person. That nafs, that is, it's a sovereign over that person. It is dominant over that person. And when the nafs becomes the commander, then what does it command you towards? Inna nafsa la'ammaratam bisu. Su means evil. Su means sin. When the nafs takes over your body, it leads us to sin. Very simple, as in if you want to understand today's culture, one word, hedonism. You have this Western hedonism, the two words. This one English word, all of you will be able to understand and be able to realize that even people in the West have coined this one word to show how well they've understood this ayah. One word to show how precisely they understand this verse of Quran, Inna nafsa la ammaratam bisu, and that one word is hedonism. If your English is better, you know this, but that a hedonist is a person who chooses to be a creature of desire. He's a slave to his desire. We have this phrase in English. He's a person who's slave to his desires. He's slavery. It's a different type of slavery. In other words, they know that if you choose to submit and you don't submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can submit to your nafs. That is being called a hedonist. Either you can, that's the decision, that either you can submit your nafs, either you can submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Sharia, to Quran or Sunnah, or if you don't submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're actually submitting to your nafs. There is no third thing. That's the competition. That's the hedonist. Is that human being who does whatever the nafs desires. And they won't use this word nafs. They're going to say that, oh, I'll do whatever my heart desires. But that's actually just fooling themselves. But they're doing what their nafs desires. They created their whole, it's a whole culture for themselves. If the nafs desires certain sins, then they will create a whole apparatus to fulfill that sin. They have Hollywood and entertainment and bars and clubs and alcohol, music, disco, hip-hop, all of that. All of that is just a whole, it's like an apple. It's a whole machinery that the nafs has more opportunity to fulfill its desires. And they're slaves to their nafs. And Allah SWT is teaching us that in Quran, instead of being slaves to our nafs, we must become slaves to Him. We cannot become abdul nafs. We should be abdullah. And even, let me give you a lesser example from the Muslim world. How a person, a Muslim, can also become a slave of their own desires and nafs. What happens is actually that the nafs is going to all of a sudden feel some desire, some craving, some yearning, and it will become like a fire. Become a fire, and you'll think that I have to give in to that fire. You become overpowered by that feeling. You want to do something in your mind to release that feeling, to extinguish that fire. And that is the time when you give in to your nafs. You'll give in to that desire. Even if you do it secretly, you won't do it in the bar, you won't do it in the club or the disco, but you'll still give in to your nafs. Sometimes it's just visual. People give in. Muslims, they can't satisfy the nafs. They give in visually. But they give in to their nafs. The overpowering nature of their nafs is still there. It controls their eyes. Their eyes become a slave to their nafs. Their heart is crying. It's telling you to look down. Even their akal is saying, your mind is telling you to look down. But your eyes have become slaves to your nafs. You can't control their eyes. It's very difficult for them to control their eyes. They can't lower their gaze. Why? Because their eyes are slaves of their nafs. Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. The nafs commands their eyes. Whatever your heart feels at that time is irrelevant. Is irrelevant at that moment. Whatever your mind tells you is irrelevant at that moment. The eyes have become enslaved by the nafs. This is the nafs. This is the nafs ammara. The commanding nafs. The second type of nafs which Allah has mentioned in Holy Quran is nafs al-lavvama. Lavvam means the guilty nafs. If your Urdu is good enough, you know this word, mulamat karna, Right? It means to blame. You feel blameworthy. This is that nafs. Rather, that a person who has this nafs, sometimes they're able to beat their nafs. And sometimes they're able to restrain their nafs. But at other times, their nafs overpowers them. But whenever their nafs overpowers them, makes them do something which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they still have some remorse, some regret, some feeling of guilt in their heart. They feel that regret, they feel that shame, that haya, that nadma, nadamat. And then they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in istighfar, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. There is a difference though between the two, between nafsul lawwama and nafsul ammara. Nafsul lawwama is that nafs which has guilt, whereas ammara was that nafs which had no guilt. That person used to do sin shamelessly, remorselessly, no regrets. Like you go to the bazaar, you go to the marketplace and you see some guy openly staring at women. No shame whatsoever. You know that the whole market, all the people can see him staring. But that doesn't stop him. That doesn't stop him anyway. There is no haya. No haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no haya before the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nafsul lawwama is that person who has shame, who feels sad. This person is always in constant struggle with their nafs, mujahida. When they get knocked down by the nafs, they feel that sadness, they feel that shame. They want to stand back up again, try to fight their nafs again. This person doesn't want to become an abdu nafs, doesn't want to become the slave of their nafs. He's trying to become a king over their nafs. Alhamdulillah, Azam, inshallah ta'ala, by the grace of Allah ta'ala, you and me, we are the people of nafsul lawwama. If we were nafsul ammala, we wouldn't have prayed our fajr, we wouldn't have prayed our dhuhr. It would have been very difficult for us. We are people who are guilty sinners of this ummah. We are sinners, but we are the guilty sinners. We feel that nadma, that guilt in our heart. So as much we bring that sin, we must at least try to bring that guilt. Always we should remember this, that if we don't have that ability to bring as much good deeds as we bring sins, at least we should try to bring guilt and remorse and regret as much as we bring our sins. Because it's this guilt which we have, this nadma, this remorse which we have, which will invite the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will wipe away our sins. That's the process. To attract Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, and then leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, we are helpless before our nafs. We ask you, we turn to you to take us out from this sin, to take us out from this hole. That is nafsul lawwama. And then there's the third type of nafs, Allah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, which is the nafsul mutma'inna. All of us know the very famous surah, the last part of 30th juz. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki raziyatan mardiyya. This is the nafsul mutma'inna. Mutma'in, you know this word from Urdu. It has two meanings actually. Nafsul mutma'inna is that nafs that is mutma'in, that is happy on the deen. This is that nafs which has been beaten into shape, that nafs which has been molded and tampered, that the islah of this nafs has been done, so much so that the tabiat of this nafs is exactly the same as the tabiat of the sharia. Whatever are the makruhati sharia becomes the makruhati tabi'iyya. Even those things are slightly displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sharia, those things become slightly displeasing to that person's nafs, the tabiat of that nafs. He is happy on the deen. He doesn't need anything. No longer has any desires for the haram. No longer has any desires for the makruhat. This is that nafs. It's completely mutma'in on those desires that are within the halal. It is completely satisfied and content with leading a life that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a nafs which is mutma'in. And there's also a second meaning of mutma'in, that because this nafs is razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Quran, raziyatam maradiyya. Razi means to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleased with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing that happens then to that such a person is that the person who has this nafsul mutma'inna is that he becomes the marziya, he becomes pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes the object of pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gets the rizwan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rizwanullah, rizwanullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with such a person. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him or her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends sukoon and itminan on that person's heart. Their heart has sukoon, their heart has peace and tranquility. Their heart is happy in this world. And that is really, I think, if we analyze ourselves, that is what anybody in the world really wants. It's peace of heart. If I tell you that I'll give you a nice life, a good career, all of that, but your heart will be parishan, there will be no peace, you'll become anxious, you won't want such a life. Now, on the other hand, I'll say that, oh, there'll be some ups and downs in your life, some tests and trials in your career, but throughout your life, you'll have peace of heart. You'll say, okay, if there's any difficulty, if it doesn't affect my heart, and despite that difficulty and trial, I'm able to have peace of my heart, then I'll take such a difficulty. I'll take such a life. This is nafsul mutma'inna. And who are these people? Who are the people of nafsul mutma'inna? These are the Sahaba ikram, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. These are the awliya, the sulaha, the siddiqeen, the salihin of this ummah. That is what Allah says in the Quran. Allah inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. These are the people, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la khawfun alayhim. They have no fear upon them, no fear whatsoever. Threat-free existence. Wa la hum yahzanun. They have no grief, no depression, no tension, no worry, no anxiety. They're mutma'in. They're happy, they're content. Why are they content? Because they have this itmanan given to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes with their taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes with their qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are people, ulaika al-muqarrabun, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought close, brought near to them, brought near to him. But these are, in other words, these are people who have been drawn near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they feel this closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're happy. It means everything to them in this world. It actually means that we should also try and make this dua. Ya Allah, we also want to get this nafsu mutma'inna. We should recite this dua which Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW taught us. Very easy dua. Very easy dua. Razitu billahi rabba. That Ya Allah, I'm pleased with the fact that you are my Rabb. Wa razitu bi Muhammadin Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That I'm pleased to have Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my Nabi. And wa razitu bil Islami deena. And I'm so pleased to have Islam as my deen. And if you keep repeating this sentence over and over in your mind, in your heart, and even if you want in your tongue, you'll be conditioning yourself to this reality. That I'm a perfectly happy person because I have Allah Ta'ala as my Rabb, because I have Sayyidina Rasulullah as my Nabi, because I'm from the Ummati Mustafa, he is my Nabi. On the Day of Judgment, when they'll put people in front of in the groups of their Nabi, in the groups of their Anbiya, I'll be in his group. I'm Raziyata, Razi. And Razitu bil Islami deena, that I'm so pleased with the fact that I have Islam, the most kamil way of living, the most perfect, complete, most beautiful and noble way of life as my deen. When a person keeps reciting this, keeps thinking about this, keeps feeling this, then they take one step towards this nafsu mutma'inna, which is raziya, that they become pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we can learn how to become pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with us. That's why once one person came to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he asked a question that how do I know that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me? So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said very simple. You should just look and check into your heart and see that if you're pleased with Allah. If you're pleased with Allah, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. And if you're not pleased with Allah, then you're unaware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with you. Very simple. This is the meaning of this verse, Raziyatum Maradiya. We should make ourselves razi to every hukum. Ya Allah, this is your hukum. I make myself razi to your hukum. Allah Ta'ala, whatever you have given me, everything which you have given me, whatever difficulty you have put me in, if you want to test me, shake me in this way, I will have sabr, I will have sugar, I will have patience and gratitude. I am razi. We should make ourselves think like that we are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can only be done by working on our nafs, by rectifying our nafs. That is why sometimes the mashayikh use this phrase that nafs ko marna, killing the nafs. Now what is meant by killing the nafs? It actually doesn't mean that you have to kill yourself, kill your nafs completely and entirely, that you have to eradicate it completely. It actually means that you have to make it bound to the Sharia. It's a bit delicate issue, that you don't have to kill your nafs so completely that it can't do any good. No. On the other hand, you shouldn't let it be so strong either that it can do any and every evil which it wants to do. But actually, the nafs has to be strong and also has to be weak. This is that maintaining this balance is what is called tazkiyah in nafs. This word which we use often, tazkiyah in nafs, it's actually maintaining this balance. And you have to make our nafs strong when it comes to doing itaat, when it comes to doing ibadat, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to make our nafs very extremely weak, almost eradicate our nafs on that part when it comes to going against Sharia. That is tazkiyah in nafs. We should always remember this rule, this qaida, that whatever thing has pleasure for the nafs, whatever thing has pleasure for the nafs, that same exact thing has the death of our ruh. Yeah, it's because the ruh and nafs are opposites. That whatever pleases our nafs, that same thing which will bring death to our ruh. And on the other hand, whatever thing which has the displeasure for our nafs, which displeases our nafs, that same thing has the life, has the hayat of our ruh. The nafs ko, we have to do mujahida. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran also this mujahida. It's necessary. All of us, if we want to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, want to get the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get the hidayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase in our ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mujahida to nafs. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those people who mujahida on themselves, لَنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them to multiple pathways. Mujahida has to be done. And lastly, we'll just mention a few practical ways in which our mashayikh have said and mentioned that how can a person do mujahida on their nafs. So there are three ways which have been mentioned a person can do this mujahida to make their nafs according to the Shariat. Number one is that we should try to go against the khwaishat, against the desires of our nafs. Stop yourself from going after the khwaishat, after the desires. Stop it from the shahwat. People think it's only for sex, but that's actually not true. It's shahwat is actually a general term. Some people have shahwat of food. They want to eat a lot. Some people have shahwat of clothes. Always be poshly dressed. Especially amongst the women. Mardon mein this shahwat of the opposite sex bahut zyada hai. And for the women, it's shahwat of clothes, shahwat of food. Some people have shahwat for car, some for physical lust. All these things are actually shahwat. And whenever you feel that some desire is so great that it's becoming an impediment in religion, then it should be stopped. The more you give into the nafs, the stronger it becomes. This is an usul. You should always remember. The more we give in, the more strength it gets. It's actually a misconception that people think that, oh, if I give in to my nafs, the nafs will lie low. No. It only becomes stronger. It's like a horse. Doesn't let one ride on itself. If you want to tame that horse, what you have to do, you have a wild horse. It won't let you sit on itself. If you want to sit on that horse, if you want to ride that horse, you want to make sure that the horse goes where you want it to go, then you have to give that horse less food. When it becomes hungry, it lets people ride on itself. Sometimes people say that one way you can go against your nafs is to stop feeding your nafs. Stop feeding the food of khwaishat for your nafs. Seedha ho jayega nafs. When a person misses fajr, now you should blame your nafs. You should stop feeding and say, okay, you've missed your fajr, you'll miss your breakfast. Next day, a person will wake up for tahajjud. We have to do this. We have to tame our nafs. That is the first way, going against the desires of our nafs. Second is that we need to put the burden of ibadah on the nafs. For example, a donkey, if there's a wild donkey, and if you want to make sure that the donkey doesn't go here and there, then the owner of that donkey places burden on that donkey, places load on that donkey. The donkey is so overwhelmed by that burden, by that weight, that he can't go here and there. Goes in a straight line. Follows the orders, follows the command of his master. Likewise, we also have to put the burden of ibadah on the donkey of our nafs. We should always be doing some ibadah. Never let this nafs be idle. We say this in English also. An idle man's mind is the worship of the devil. The first thing was to don't feed the animal too much, and second is to put lots of load on that animal. Praying Salah, reciting Quran, reciting Istighfar, reciting Durood and Salawat, doing Muraqabah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any and every ibadah which you can do, just force yourself. Tire your nafs with this. This is a big blessing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person can tire their nafs by doing ibadah. This is the second. And the third and final thing is we should always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Ya Allah, you have said, Inna nafsa la ammaratan bisu illa ma rahima rabbi. Ajib. That this nafs is ammara. It commands a person towards evil, towards sin. Illa, except ma rahima rabbi, those upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rahim. Those upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy. So Ya Allah, we can't stop our nafs until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have mercy on us. So Ya Allah, whatever these two things which we can do, we did these two things. Now we ask Ya Allah, we ask you to kubul our efforts, to accept these efforts and send your mercy on us. I did what I could do, now you please help me. This is the way we offer ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, offer ourselves in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, we want to come in the folds of your rahmah so that you can take us out from the deception of our nafs. You can grant us this tazkiyah nafs, this islahi nafs, this pure nafs, this nafs-e mutma'inna. There are some things which are also mentioned by Akabir, by Mashaykh. So one thing which is mentioned by Shaykh Ashraf, Hazrat Adhanvi rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that you should try to be in the company of a true Shaykh, a complete perfect Shaykh. Why? Because Shaykh actually is that person who knows how the nafs acts. He's a person who has experience. If a friend gives you direction, then you can still go astray. If the person sits with you on the car, then he leads you to the destination. Then you can't go astray. It's a very simple example. When a child writes an exam paper, he thinks when he's writing that exam paper, he thinks that I've done 100%, everything is right. I'm going to get 100%. It's a perfect paper. But when the teacher checks that paper and gives him back, he sees the corrected paper and there are all red marks all over. So the child knows that he, according to him, his nafs, he thought he was the best. He had perfect marks, 100%. But when the teacher checked that paper and he got that paper back, he saw that no, what he thought was wrong. Even doctors don't do their own treatment. It has to be someone else who can guide that person. Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, such a big, big Sahabi, he used to say about himself that whoever brings to me the present of my faults, I will pray for that person's forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. You present faults to me, I'll make dua for you. Make dua maghfirat for you. This is first that we should try to be in the company of those people. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, you should unite your very being with the Sadiqeen. Kunuma Sadiqeen, unite yourself with those people who are truer than you. In their relationship with Allah, in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in those people who are truer and who know this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pitfalls on this path presented by the nafs and shaitan, and who can guide you. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Ar-Rahman fasal bihi khabira. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, you should fasal bihi khabira. You should ask that person who has khabir, who has deep knowledge of what means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman. We have to ask, we have to be in the company of such people who have such deep khabar. And secondly, we should also try, this is a bit difficult, but also learning from our enemies, learning from your enemies, from those people who are your hasid, from your enviers. But sometimes when Allah is pleased with the person, He fixes some policeman on that person. So they constantly rebuke that person, tell him not to do this, not to do that. And we've seen that good people generally, they're likely to have more and more hasidin. Likewise, Sayyidina Rasulullah has mentioned in Quran, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, that you should seek refuge from the evil of the envier. That these are actually people, that what these people tell me of my sins, my faults, we should try to correct ourselves. Sometimes they have hikmat in there. Okay, hikmat in their words. They can point to faults inside of you, they can point to faults inside of you, point to your sins. You should try to take heed from them, get ibrat from them. Learn from others what caused their demise. And last and a very easy way to tackle nafs, which I've learned from our own teachers, is that nafs actually is a creature which we mentioned, it's a creature of pleasure. It needs pleasures. So why don't you make it used to the enjoyment, the pleasure of ibadah? Why don't you give it and let it taste the sweetness of standing in at night in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let it taste the sweetness of sending durood and Sayyidina Rasulullah. Let it taste the sweetness and pleasure of saying istighfar in one third of the night. Let it taste the sweetness of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let it taste the sweetness of just being able to sit on the musalla. In fact, this is actually a sign of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to sit on the musalla. A person is paid so he can stay up all night. But if we ask him to offer tahajjud, he won't be able to do it. Since there he knows the reward. In the world he knows the reward. But tahajjud he doesn't know, he doesn't sense the reward. This is all of us, we need to purify our nafs. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, this is his ayah which we recited at the beginning. That قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ ذَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. It's not a fazail wala kaam, that if a person can do it, okay, it's fine. If you don't do it, there's no problem. It's actually a farz. Tazkiyah nafs is a farz. He who has succeeded to purify himself, kad aflaha man zakaha. He has to purify himself. And it shows the importance of this purification. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually took 7 qasams in Quran. وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْدُّهَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. All of that. And then Allah is saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. After taking seven oaths, Allah is saying that this tazkiyah nafs is very important. This islah nafs is very important. It shows us how much this is valued in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should also value this in our life and be aware, and we should make effort for this to mujahida on our nafs. And I'll end with this one call, one very famous saying, of one very big Naqshbandi Shaykh, Hazrat Bayazid Bustami Rahmatullah. He used to say that Jannat is a two-step journey. Jannat is a two-step journey. You place your first step on your nafs, and the second step will lead you to Jannat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to become such people who can purify our nafs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all such people who can get the nafs mutma'inna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this intention from us today. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So make short silent dhikr. So we make dua. So all of you close your eyes and bow your head. You go deep within inside of yourself. Go deep inside of your qalb, your spiritual heart. Close your eyes and bow your head. Make intention that Ya Allah, you have said in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, that you remember me and I'll remember you. Ya Allah, we're making intention of doing amal on this ayah, that we are going receding deep inside of ourselves, and we're remembering you from the depth of our heart, from the core of our heart, and we're remembering you, and Ya Allah, we make niyyah that you are remembering us. And we ask you, we beg you that you remember us by sending your special rahmah, by sending your special mercy and love onto our heart, which cleans our heart, which purifies our heart, which removes the filth and sins away from our heart, and our heart in gratitude and praise is calling upon your Ismi Azam, your Ismi Jalala, Allah, as if our heart is saying silently, secretly, our heart is calling upon your name, as if our heart is saying,
Allah, Allah, Allah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله بالدعاء سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب ما يقربنا إليك. ربنا يا الله يا رب كريم يا رب turn to you in توبة يا رب كريم turn to you يا رب كريم asking you to grant us the حقيقة of our إيمان. يا رب كريم grant us the حقيقة, grant us the true reality of our إيمان, grant us the حقيقة of سنة, grant us the حقيقة of ذكر. يا رب كريم يا الله make us among those people amongst the ذاكرين. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we're sick and tired of living such a heedless life. We're sick and tired of being such a hopeless life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we're leading a life, we're slaves of our nafs. Ya Allah, we have such a commanding nafs. A nafs amaratum, an amaratum besu. Our nafs commands us towards evil. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, to take us out from this nafs. Grant us a nafs mutma'inna, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, take us out from these ranks of amaratum besu. Take us out from the rank of amongst the ghafilin. Take us out from amongst the lifestyle that is heedless of you. Take us out from amongst those emotions that are empty of you. Those feelings that are empty of you. Those desires which are absent of you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we come to you with our broken hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you with our hardened hearts. We come to you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, with our saddened hearts. Ya Rabbi, we come to you with our blackened hearts. Ya Muqallib al-Qulub. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub. Qallib qulubana, Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are the true changer of our hearts. Change our dead hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Mudakki Hakiki, Ya Allah, you are the true purifier of our hearts. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Purify our souls, Ya Allah. Purify our nafs, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, it's difficult for us to do this mujahida. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make it easy for us to do mujahida to nafs. Make it easy for us to, Ya Allah, burden our nafs with ibadah. Grant us the pleasure of tasting your sweetness of ibadah. Grant us the pleasure, grant us the sweetness of ibadah. Grant us the sweetness of tilawa. Grant us the sweetness of dhikr. Grant us the sweetness of istighfar. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us the sweetness of durood and salawat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make these pleasures, make this sweetness more than the sweetness of sin, more than any and every other thing which takes away from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, let a pleasure for you be overpowering, be overwhelming. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us such as become pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we present our fragile hearts to you. Ya Allah, we present these weak hearts to you. We present our nafs to you. Ya Allah, these hearts and these souls have iman in you. We have love for you, yearning for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to accept this iman. Ya Allah, we have nadama in our souls. We have the lavama to nafs. Ya Allah, we have the guilty when we sin against you. Ya Allah, we have that remorse and regret in our heart. We have that bare level of haya. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we did ask you to, Ya Allah, take this iman, yeah, accept this iman in our heart, accept this bare drop of haya which we have in our heart, those bare drops of remorse and regret we have in our heart, those bare drops of guilt and nadma which we have in our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us with the renewal of our iman, accept us with the renewal of our haya, accept us with the renewal of our tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept this tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to make our qalb munawwar with the nur of iman, munawwar with your love and your muhabba. Make our soul, make our nafs munawwar. Make our nafs munawwar. Make it raziyat and mardiya. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, make it pleased with you, and you become pleased with us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we recite those words, those beautiful dua which the Rasulullah taught us. Raditu billahi rabba. Ya Allah, we're happy to have you as our Rabb. We're pleased to have you as our Rabb.
رضيت بالله ربا رضيت بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا نبي happy to have سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم as a نبي يا الله رضيت بالإسلام دينا نبي happy to have دين إسلام as our دين يا رب الكريم we ask you we present ourselves to you we ask you to become pleased with us نبي ask you to grant us that مرضية يا الله become pleased with us grant us that رضوان يا الله grant us that رضوان يا رب الكريم Ya Allah, adorn our hearts with the nur of Iman, with the nur of Taqwa. Adorn our hearts with the nur of Sunnah. Adorn our hearts with the nur of Dhikr. Adorn our hearts, Ya Rabbi Kareem, for the nur of Ibadah. Accept our hearts for the khidmat deen, Ya Allah, Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, accept our hearts for the khidmat of this deen. Accept our hearts for tilawat al-Quran. Accept our hearts to be awaiting our salah. Ya Allah, we stand before you with empty hearts, with absent hearts. We prostrate before you with absent hearts. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, make tawbah of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make tawbah of our shortcomings. Ya Allah, we beg you to fix this fault in us. We beg you to improve our quality of our salah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us surur in our salah. Grant us sukoon in our sajda. Grant us halawat in our iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we too want to become amongst the beloveds. Ya Allah, we too want to become amongst your lovers. Ya Allah, accept us for this path of your muhabbah. Accept us for this path of your mahbubiyah. Ya Allah, make us amongst your friends. Ya Allah, make us amongst the friends of your friends. Ya Allah, we say in English, a friend of a friend is a friend. Ya Allah, Kareem, Ya Allah, make us your friends. And making the friends of your friends. Ya Allah, Ya Rahimeen, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, you know the hypocrisy in our hearts. You know every sin which we have done until this moment. Ya Allah, you know even those sins which we'll do after this dua. Ya Allah, you're truly Al-Haleem. We ask you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, to shower us with your hilm, shower us with your hidayah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept our iman, place our iman in your protection. Protect our iman from all the fitnas of our time, from all those fitnas which are outside of the Muslim world. And Ya Allah, protect our iman from all those fitnas which are inside of the world, which are inside of the Muslim world. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us such that we follow the footsteps of the Anbiya. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, take away all our difficulties, all our preoccupations, all our worries. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us for this life of Ibadah, accept us for this life of Tahara. Ya Allah, we also want to be amongst those who love the Mus'haf, who love the Musalla. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, you have said in Quran, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ that you are close to us in your own jugular self, our own jugular vein. Ya Allah, we also want to experience that qurb. We also want to experience that akrabiyat. Ya Allah, we also want to become akrab to you. Ya Allah, accept us for this path. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, those of us who have any worry, any difficulty, Ya Allah, we make dua for them. Ya Allah, remove their difficulties. Grant us the strength and willpower to follow the deen. Ya Allah, enable us so that we can make the sacrifices to follow the deen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين